Market View on Money FM 89.3.
And just like that, it seems that the strong start to the week is starting to fizzle, with markets left scratching their heads after new questions arising about the upcoming U.S.-China trade talks that could lead to that interim trade deal. And now there are reports at Reuters that the U.S.-China trade agreement might be pushed back to December and possibly not in the U.S. And a number of other sticking points that the world's two largest economies need to agree on before they actually sign off on the partial deal. Now, the question is, will this get done? And perhaps the more immediate question, where might it actually be signed off on? Well, today from Shanghai, we're joined by Mr. Jimmy Tzu, the chief market strategist at Fullerton Markets, and we're going to get his thoughts on what he makes of all of these new developments. Jimmy, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good afternoon.
All right, so Jimmy, let's move through this quickly. Again, we were expecting an interim trade deal to happen sometime this month. The Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said that he was confident something would get signed, but now we have this new Reuters report that is suggesting that a trade deal might have to wait until December, and that it might have to happen outside of the United States. Again, it seems markets seem a bit stymied at the moment by these developments. Also, what are markets in China making of these new developments with regards to the possibility of this interim trade deal?
Yeah, I think there's still lots of a challenging ahead, because what we look at, the risk sentiment actually has been largely improved. If you look at the gold prices, silver prices, but if you look at the Shanghai equities today's performance and also the U.S. equities performance overnight, you can tell the traders are still very cautious about the deal can be done. And if we look at the details, so far there's no details at this moment. It just shows that the two sides are willing to make some partial deal at this moment. But regarding what kind of details behind, actually there's no further illustrations from here. But I have one question here is, probably now it's about 50 or 60% of the deal, and there's a lot of agreement. But still remember, we still have a phase two. If the phase one, the two sides are still not very easy to conclude a deal, then probably the market will think, okay, even we've reached the phase one deal, then how about the phase two, whether it will be more challenging or not. But so far, look at the examples in April. I think the traders should be still very cautious at this moment. I mean, before the two sides officially signing the deal, I think traders will be still kind of like not really putting 100% confidence on whether it will be a deal or not.
Okay, let's move to phase two in just a little bit, but I want to talk about one of the few sticking points or the demands from Beijing, actually, which is that the U.S. government roll back up a significant amount of the recently imposed tariffs, and also that they hold the talks not on U.S. soil. Now, these are two of the two sticking points, perhaps on the part of the U.S. side. Do you think that this could make things very testy and actually reduce the odds that the U.S. might actually agree to it? Because as U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer have said before, these tariffs are needed to enforce as an enforcement mechanism to make sure that China complies with what they want. At least this from the U.S. side.
Right. I think the both sides actually now have to provide with some challenging demands to the other parties. On China's side, probably they request the existing tariff on China's export products need to decrease, and the percentage, actually the two sides should be decreased on the same amount. So let's say if China removed 10% of the U.S. Imports, and the U.S. also need to remove 10% of the China's imports, I'm not very sure whether the U.S. agree on this term or not, but on the U.S. side, they also demand you need to have those kind of in future, whether there's any enforcement measures. I think this is also the challenging part, that maybe China will find whether impose this kind of a measurement will threaten the nation's securities or threaten the nation's development in some certain areas. So I think these two are the major challenge about whether the two sides can reach the phase one deal.
Okay, so let's assume, Jimmy, let's pretend that phase one gets signed in the next couple of weeks. And you mentioned there's still a couple of other phases that might need to be accomplished. Looking ahead, phase two, phase three, if you were to name two of the major sticking points moving forward that could see that might hinder more progress after phase one, what do you think those two sticking points might be?
Phase one, it will be very obvious, and is that everything is still limited on the trade. But on the phase two and the phase three, I'm not very sure about the exact details, but I expect that probably there were lots of things outside the trade side, let's say intellectual properties, and whether the reducing those kind of support for the SOE. So I think that kind of thing is even more difficult for the two nations to achieve. So phase one, I think everything is still limited to the trades. But on phase two and phase three, I think the progress could be much longer than the phase one.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Jimmy Tzu. He's the chief market strategist for Fullerton Markets out in Shanghai. Jimmy, a lot has been made about this decoupling of the U.S. and Chinese economies, given how tense the trade relations are between these two countries at the moment. But there are reports that it seems that that it hasn't really slowed down foreign investments coming into China. In fact, according to some data from the PBOC, Chinese equities held by foreigners were at a record of about $253 billion, and they've risen by nearly 40% in a year. This could be down to the MSCI's rebalancing. This could also be down to some of the relaxation of constraints by Chinese securities authorities. But I think my question is, even if there is a decoupling, these signs, though, are pointing at perhaps foreign investments in China not really getting impacted as much. Is that fair to say, or am I off?
I think from a few areas, of course, on the lots of inflows into China, actually these kind of long-term investments. So the short-term price fluctuations probably are not the main decisions they have. And the material reason, I think, it's not only the inflows into China. Also, we see lots of inflow to the EM reasons. There's two reasons. Number one reason is the U.S. dollar now has a bit weakening, I mean, at this moment, and also the outlook for the U.S. dollar also pointing probably that the U.S. dollar index might not easily penetrate above 100. So when a dollar index weaker, lots of flows actually will prefer to invest in the EM market. And number two is what we see is probably in the third quarter, in the second quarter, there's too much pessimistic positions actually to build on the China and also the global economic outlook. Given now the bond yield is so low at this moment, the price is so high, so there are some investment, there are some portfolio actually shifting from the bond portfolio into the equity portfolio. So if that two reasons is the major reason of what we see. Reason, yes, there's some inflow into the Chinese equity market.
All right, Jimmy. So let me ask you this a final question then. I know that for the better part of the last couple of months, you've been rather strong on the Chinese bond markets or fixed income versus equities. Given some of these developments in the U.S.-China trade tensions, given all of these portfolio inflows and also some signs, and given the global macro picture, especially the inflationary pressures that we're seeing in China, how is this affecting or influencing your call on the bond markets? Are you shifting your stance perhaps to more equities, or are you still holding firm to your rather rosy outlook for Chinese bonds moving forward?
In the fourth quarter, in the short term, actually, we are advising that probably the investors can consider to move some portfolio from the bond market to equity portfolio. It's not because of the long-term outlook. It's more because of some assets in the risk assets like equities are a bit oversell at this moment. But in the long term wise, the PBOC yesterday just lowered the NLF rate, and the PBOC is not really cutting the interest rate for this year, and we still believe that there's a further liquidity injections will continue from the Chinese central banks. So after the fourth quarters, I think for the first quarter next year moving outwards, I think the bond performance will continue to outperform the equities for some certain period.
So more equity, more monetary injections from authorities, but not necessarily rate cuts. Is that what you think, or do you think we might see a mixture of both, perhaps moving forward from the PBOC?
I think for 2020, the PBOC might consider to cutting the now the new benchmark interest rate, the LPR rate. Because the current liquidity injections probably is not enough to support the whole economy. So moving forward to next year, we believe, some more aggressive easing like rate cuts or even more aggressive fiscal support probably will come up. But all that depends how the progress of the U.S. and China trade talks.
Okay, and we're back to those U.S.-China trade talks, and we hold our breaths, our collective breaths, as we wait for them to decide on where and when they might sign off on this partial trade deal. Jimmy Tu, Chief Market Strategist for Fullerton Markets out in Shanghai, thank you so much for joining us again this afternoon on Primetime.
Market View on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.